Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fraternizing with Fran, where interesting people come to chat. I am your host, talk radio advocate Fran Silverman at talkradioadvocate.com. The number to call if you wish to speak with our guest is 646-200-4639. Today we have a very, very interesting guest. Her name is Vicki Claflin, and she's a humor writer and author, a public speaker, and a former newspaper columnist. Her recently published book, Shake, Rattle, and Roll With It, Living and Laughing with Parkinson's, chronicles her hilarious and sometimes poignant journey dealing with Parkinson's disease. She also writes the award-winning humor blog, Laugh Lines, at laugh-lines.net. Vicki, welcome to the show, and tell me what is so funny about Parkinson's disease, because I have it too, and I don't find anything funny about it.
Well, thank you for having me, Fran. But
okay, it's a pleasure.
Thank you. The funny about Parkinson's is you have to look for it, of course, but it's a goofy disease, and I think goofy is funny. It does goofy things to your day. And I started writing about the silly things that happened and in my most embarrassing moments, and it makes people laugh.
But when did you develop it?
Parkinson's?
Yeah.
8 years ago. It was when I turned 50. That's when I got my diagnosis.
At age 50.
Mm-hmm.
And did anybody in your family have it?
My mother and my grandmother.
Oh,
so,
mother had it too. It really does follow generations. And what were the signs?
Well, the first one that lasted 2 years before I got a diagnosis was my left arm tremor. And because I'd seen that for 25 years in my mother, I had a pretty good idea of what I was looking at.
So you have tremors. How is it proceeding?
It progresses. My husband can see it more than I can, he says, because I don't pay attention to it, really. I mean, I take my little medications and move on with my day, but he said he notices it. So I'm assuming it's a progressive disease, so I'm assuming it's marching along.
But are you on meds?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I don't ignore it. I just laugh at it.
Yeah, because I'm on meds, and I find that they really help.
Absolutely. It makes it a little bit
easier
to ignore.
So you wrote a book all about the funny things that happen to
mm-hmm.
you?
My most embarrassing moments.
What were some of the funny things that happened to you?
Oh, it's almost more like what it does to daily events. The book is really about just daily life and how goofy it gets with this disease. Like some of my more popular chapters are like, I gave my hub the pole dance and he can't stop laughing. It's been 2 days. Not sure if you're getting older. Here's your sign. Date night. This isn't how I remember it. It's just, it's the little things that all this shaking, rattling, and rolling do to your day, and how the humorous side of it, how you can look at it a little bit differently. Because as you know, they don't have a cure. So we've got kind of two ways to look at this. It can either be just part of a fun ride, or we could be fearful and depressed, which I see a lot in this illness.
You do get depressed a lot?
I don't. I see it a lot in other people. When I go around and promote my book, I meet dozens and dozens of Parkinson's people, and a lot of them are very fearful and very anxious and very depressed about it. And so I'm trying to get people to find the funny and, make this journey a little less difficult, because it doesn't kill you. I mean, we're going to live with this for, God willing, 20 or 30 years.
It's true. It's true. You don't really die of it. You die of something else.
When people tell me that, my grandfather had it for 40 years and he died he died because of Parkinson's, I said, no, he died because he was 97. He had Parkinson's, but that's not what killed him.
Yeah, my mother was a prisoner in her own body. She couldn't talk, she couldn't walk, she couldn't eat, you know, she really
But they've
was,
come a long way since then. I mean, medications and I'm assuming that in 20 years they're going to have made advances we can't even fathom at this point. I mean, they've made real strides in Parkinson's, which is very exciting.
Did they make progress with the medications, or have they made progress?
No, I'm taking the same thing my mother's been taking, but they've made, you know, with the deep brain surgery, which is huge, and now they're looking at stem cell studies and all kinds. I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know exactly what they call it, but I do know that advances are being made because the awareness has risen so high. And also because a lot of the baby boomers are turning that age, and a lot of them are getting Parkinson's. So there's a lot of attention on it, which is a good thing.
Now, you were featured on the Michael J. Fox website, Foundation website. Mm-hmm. How did that happen?
Well, I sent them some chapters of my book, and you know, they have a website where they talk about books that are out there and authors, and then they picked one of the chapters and put it up on their blog. So that was really exciting.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That was great. Yeah.
Did that help to sell? Did that help to sell a lot of books?
Not so much. It got a lot of traffic to my blog and a lot of questions about it, and I got a speaking engagement out of it, but it's. You know, you never know kind of what impacts what sometimes. I'll see spikes in numbers, and I'm not quite sure where it came from. But it's also, I have the Muhammad Ali Foundation called, and they have the book in their library. And so it's been really fun. I've met a lot of amazing people, and the book is getting out there. It's the reach is expanding.
Did you, is this your first book?
Yes.
Oh, so you had to learn really how to promote it, but you seem to be doing the right things. Now, your
I'm still
book
learning.
Was recently added to Amazon.com's Editor's Favorite Books in 2004. How did they discover your book among so many books?
I have no idea, Fran. I just got up one day, and there was a big star on my Amazon listing that said, you know, one of the best books of 2014 in my genre. So, I mean, I was doing the happy dance for sure. I don't know. I'm not going to ask them.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. That was the month that it came out. So I was really excited about that.
Yeah. Well, you have a blog, and I have to tell you that I read one of your entries, Love Lessons from My Third Marriage, which is about you.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I
it's
know.
A little better to shut up.
I'm sorry?
Not every subject or feeling needs to be verbally explored and analyzed like a petri dish in chemistry class. That's why God invented girlfriends. You really do find the humor in things.
I do. It's just people say that to me all the time. How can you laugh about this stuff? Because it's hilarious. And my blog is not about Parkinson's. My blog is about midlife humor and marriage and you know, crazy things that happen to us as we become grandmas and get older and all that kind of stuff. So I dedicated the book purely to the funny side of Parkinson's. So they're two different concepts, but the same readers. I'm getting, you know, a lot of my followers from my blog bought my book, obviously, which was great.
How did you get followers to your blog when you started writing?
I started my blog, 2.5 years ago, maybe. And, you know, I just started reaching out to other bloggers whose work I liked and said, you know, come and check me out and maybe say something. And they did it. It took off pretty quickly, which was really fun. But I've been writing for a long, long time. It's just I didn't have a blog for a long time, but I've been writing for years. And it just kind of took off organically. I didn't ever advertise it or anything. It just grew on its own.
So the bloggers that you reached out to, they weren't writing about Parkinson's or anything like that.
No.
You just
no,
liked
they
their
were
blogs.
Other, yeah, they were other midlife humor bloggers whose posts I liked.
Well, because you write about all kinds of issues. You write just about disease. You write about just human issues.
Yeah, midlife crises. My tagline says, middle-aged modern marriage epic fails. So it's the same style as my book. It's basically I'm offering up a lot of embarrassing moments and a lot of crazy insight into issues that we face when we get older.
You believe that just laughter, a good glass of wine, and an econo-sized box of Milk Duds are the path to Zen.
Yeah, I do. It can cure a lot of ails. You'd be amazed. Oh, it's good that boxes of Milk Duds get me through a lot of crises, especially with wine.
So how did your family react to your disease?
Children
and grandchildren?
Obviously. Yeah, my siblings were probably relieved it wasn't them. My mom felt terrible because she thinks she gave it to me. You know, my grandchildren, they just know that I'm grandma with the shaky arm. They don't, you know, little kids are great. They don't care and they don't process. And you know, when I go to brush her hair, my granddaughter will say to me, Grandma, use your good arm, you know. Fine. And for them, it's just practical. They don't think of it as a disease, which is great. I like that.
So where do you go from here?
Well, I'm going to spend the year promoting my book, obviously, and I've got a lot of speaking engagements with other Parkinson's groups and, you know, book signing and that kind of stuff, which is really, really fun. I'm excited about that. And my favorite is public speaking. I love doing presentations to doctors and other Parkinson's patients and also Parkinson's caregivers, friends, and family. You know, Parkinson's doesn't just happen to one person. It happens to a family and the caregivers. So, you know, if I can talk to them and get them to be lighter about it and find the funny in it, then they can help the people that actually have the disease because they're the tough ones. So after that, I'll probably do another humor book, but it won't be Parkinson's related. It'll be more from my blog. So that's the next book that's in the queue.
Would you like to share some excerpts from your book?
Especially
about
can do that.
Parkinson's?
I'm trying to think of what your listeners would want to hear. I'm just sort of thinking of what I could tell you that would be interesting. I've got a chapter that's kind of fun that's called 13 Things Not to Say to a Parkinson's Patient. Because people never really know what to say when they come up to you and you're shaking, and you can tell they're looking at you. You can tell they see it, but they don't. And people are sort of standing there going, I don't know what to say. And I just always say, you can ask about it. You can ask me anything you want to ask me about it. But one of my favorite things people always say is, well, what does your husband think? And I said, well, he thinks he got hosed. You know what he said for. Richer, poor, better, worse, sickness, and health. He wasn't thinking I was going to get Parkinson's. I said, no, my husband doesn't think that. He just laughs and says, she's a goofball. You know, if anybody had to get it and be able to live through it and laugh, she would. So that chapter has some little fun things in it. And then there
is... Is that the first thing they ask you? What does your husband think?
Uh-huh. I get that question all the time. Well, a lot of it, though, is because I live in a small town and people know him. So they're, you know... They do. You'd be amazed what they ask. And they also ask, what did you do? Well, I don't really think I did anything, but, you know, because I think what people want to know is that they're not going to get it. So if they can figure out what you did to get it, and they don't do that, they won't get it.
You mean you caused it? They think you caused
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll say, well, you know, you shouldn't be drinking that Diet Coke. It probably is the reason you have Parkinson's. No, that's not. I mean, it's bizarre, Fran. I'm telling you, there's a chapter dedicated to the weird things people have actually said to me about having Parkinson's. And then there's one of the ones that I do a lot of reading from is called I Finally Met My Doctor and Now We're BFFs. And it talks about my first diagnosis, but it also talks about drugs. And I say there's a virtual cornucopia of Parkinson's medications to choose from, so docs, show me what you've got. The first pill caused mild dementia-like symptoms. Bluntly put, you won't remember your own address. I told baby doc, my doctor was like 12. I mean, I'm kidding, not kidding. She looked like there's no way she could be a doctor. I kept staring at her thinking, are you sure you're old enough to do this? But it said, I told baby doc I was a writer and disinclined to take anything that made me foggy or stupid. Next up, great for tremors but cause severe edema, particularly in ankles and calves. Nope, I told her Hubs is a leg guy and he'll hang in through Parkinson's, but I could lose him over the cankles. So when it goes on to talk about the ones that cause weight gain, I said, I'm not depressed over the Parkinson's, but I'd be borderline suicidal about blowing up like the Hindenburg in 3 weeks' time. Not going to happen. So as we dug through the pile like kids digging under the Christmas tree for presents bearing their name, we tossed out may call baldness, severe night sweats, been through that with menopause, genital warts, hell no, possible addiction to gambling and porn, assuming you didn't have that earlier, and lo and behold, until we found a tiny, low-dose marvel whose primary side effect was decreased appetite and possible anorexia-like symptoms. Come to mama. So the whole book kind of goes along those lines. It's just goofy, you know. It's meant to be funny and get people to lighten up a little bit and as they go through their day. It's just, you know, there's a chapter dedicated to trying to get on Spanx. I don't know if you've ever worked with Spanx, but Spanx and Parkinson's is a tough combination.
What's a tough combination?
Spanx and Parkinson's. Spanx are those little girdle type things that we all shapewear that we wear under our clothes.
Oh, Spanx, yeah.
Yeah, really tough.
Well,
to
I had to wear that for
yourself.
My daughter's wedding. It wasn't a problem.
Yeah. So I've got a chapter titled, They Get Boxers, We Get Spanx. Yeah, my husband has to help me put those on because they require two arms, and I don't. My one hand shakes so much sometimes that I can't. I lose a lot of strength in it. So he stands there and holds them up, and I jump into them and hop up and down until we get them where they're supposed to go. That's okay too.
Are there excerpts from your book on your blog?
No, there's not. So it's I had.
Are there excerpts in Amazon?
Yes, in Amazon we have a check out this book. You know, you can check out this book. They have that feature. Look inside. It's called Look Inside, and you'll be able to see a lot of the chapters, the table of contents, and you'll get a real good. The table of contents will tell you a lot. Because they're really descriptive titles about what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, suffice it to say, most of them are just embarrassing moments and my goofy take on things, you know, just that this is a crazy disease. It causes you to, you know, clap on 1 and 3 when the rest of the world is clapping on 2 and 4. And it just gets, you have to learn to go with it because otherwise you'll just be a cranky old lady when you're 60 and 70 and, because they can't cure it, and it's not going to kill you. So live with it. I know.
Shake,
I just
rattle, and roll
me.
With it. Living and laughing,
yeah,
and talking.
Yeah, shake, rattle, and roll with it.
So you were also featured on Irma Bombeck's Writer's Workshop, the Huffington Post.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very impressed.
Thank you. That's been fun. I've been on Irma Bombeck a lot. That's really, really fun. And I've been on in Huffington Post several times. So that's been
really?
Those are pieces out of my blog. Yeah, I've submitted blog posts and they've picked them up. But so that's been really fun too. And all that gets, you know, drives people to my website where they can buy my book. And so that all
did you find
sort of
them or did they find you?
I submitted stuff. Yeah, I submitted my work and they put it up. So, which makes it really,
well,
really,
got,
really
you
fun.
Well, you've got good stuff. So you.
I would like to think so. So, once you figure out, you know, what they're looking for and what they like, you can pretty much tailor your work. But I'm always in the humor section, and I like it. You know, that obviously sells more books, even though what I post for those people it doesn't have anything to do with Parkinson's. It brings traffic to my blog, and my book is prominently featured on my blog.
You also received a Blog Her 14 Voices of the Year Humor Award.
Mm-hmm. I did.
So do you go to those humor seminars that they have?
I do writing conferences. I do go to those. And Blogger is, for people that don't blog, Blogger is kind of like American Idol for blog writers. And they have, you know, several thousand people go, and they get thousands of submissions in all the genres. So it was really, really a huge deal at our house. We had a big champagne celebration and whatever, because they only select 12 people in each genre to be called Voice of the Year. So that was really exciting to me to be selected for that. It's an annual event, and on East Coast, West Coast, they trade off every year. So last year, fortunately, it was in L.A., and I live on the West Coast, so it was easy to go to.
Do you travel much to do your public speaking?
Not as much as I will be, I think, because this is all so new. I mean, the book just came out in November, so it hasn't been very long, but my ripple effect is sort of expanding now. I'm getting more speaking engagements outside of my little one-hour radius. And I will. The more I can do that, the more I will. You know, it's just getting the word out to people three states away that I'm available for public speaking. So, but I'm working on it. I'm doing it. We've got a lot of mail-out projects, and I've given away scores of books. And just to say to people, I'm here, I have something to say. It'll be fun, I promise.
I'm just reading from your page. You started Facebooking these stories, freely and cheerfully sharing my epic fails and embarrassing moments with a growing list of friends who repeatedly urged me, bless your hearts, to compile them and write a book. Hub says he can't walk the dog without running into a Facebook friend who asks, did she really? And he just sighs and replies, you have no idea. What do you mean? Did she really what?
Did I really? And then they'll fill in the blanks because they read my Facebook posts. And I put a lot of stuff out there, a lot of funny personal stuff about what a goofball I am. And so people ask me that all the time. And I get that question a lot in radio interviews. Do you really do these things? Did all the things in that book actually happen to you? And I say, absolutely. My husband always says, you have no idea what it's like living with her. he just calls me a cute little train wreck, you know. Like, things just happen, and I find them funny, and then I write about them. And the interesting thing, Fran, is that he's never read one blog post, and he hasn't read my book. He said, I don't have
read
to.
Your
I know
book?
What's in there. No, and he's never read my blog, ever. So,
that's why you can write it.
Exactly. I would prefer that he didn't, and none of my family, actually, but... He says he just knows everything that's in. He said, this is my life. I don't need to read about it. I hear about it on the street. So, we live in a small town. So, it's like he gets accosted wherever he goes. So, but, yeah, people have asked me that a lot. What do you think about your book? And I say, he's never read my book. So, in fact, my dedication on my dedication page, one of my dedications is to him. And I talk about that. I said, and to Hubs, who's never read my blog, so will probably never see this book, but he taught me the value of a good belly laugh and a great Cabernet. So someday he'll read it, maybe after I die.
Maybe that's the secret.
Yeah, probably.
You know?
I don't know what he'd say about some of the stuff I've written, but I'm not going to ask him.
Yeah.
I did tell him I put up the pole dancing story, and he's still laughing about that one.
Do your grandchildren tell stories too?
They do.
Does it run
they
in the
do.
Family?
My son, who's 25, of course, and married with two kids, but he has been a microphone person since he was 5 years old. I mean, he loved an audience, so I'm thinking he got that from me. And I see that same ham bone spirit in my granddaughter. You know, it's just she just loves to chat and make stories out of things, and she puts a good spin on things, so it's fun to watch her. A lot of people in my family are public speakers. Even if they don't do it professionally, they do it from the heart. We're really comfortable in front of a group.
Well, that's wonderful, because I had to go to Toastmasters to learn how to speak in front of groups, and then I never did.
I know people ask me that a lot. Do you really like doing that? Oh, my God, I just would kill myself. I said, it is so much fun. radio interviews and speaking presentations are just, they're so fun to me. I get such an adrenaline rush from them that it's just not like anything else. I love it. I'll do it as long as I can.
You sell a lot of books when you go speaking?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those are pretty much guaranteed sales. So that's the other reason I like them, because they make, you know, I sell tons of books. Because people get caught up in the moment. I mean, it's fun. We're all laughing. Everybody's having a good time. I've totally humiliated myself that they're, you know, so they can laugh at me. And they like it. It's to get that kind of connection with people that you don't know that quickly is really fun for me. Laughter brings people closer together. What kind of groups do you speak to? People with Parkinson's? Yeah.
I spoke to
a group of doctors. I'm just to sort of say, you know, let me tell you this from a patient's point of view. I speak to Parkinson's groups that are, they're made up of both, you know, Parkinson's people and their families and friends and caregivers and maybe their doctors. A lot to women's groups like Seroptimists and women's organizations, you know, that kind of thing. So basically anybody that'll have me. You know, I've got kind of a 20-25 minute presentation that I repeat easily and that I know is going to work. So that's really fun, and it makes it easy.
You don't
for
have
me.
To
and
adapt it to each group.
I do. What I adapt to each group is the approach that I'm taking. Like, are they doctors or are they Parkinson's patients or are they caregivers? And then I will adapt what part of my book I read from, because I always do a short excerpt, but I've got about 4 chapters that I choose, and sometimes it just depends on my audience. But there, you know, the story is the same, because everybody wants to know, when were you diagnosed? What did you think? When did you start finding it funny? That's kind of what they're looking for. So I tell that story, and then I take a section of the book and that I think they'll find funny, and that's what I do. So usually it takes, I don't know, 20 minutes. So I'm sort of the
after-dinner speaker person, if they laugh, then they're going to want more.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it's, you know, so I do a lot of, like, you know, after-dinner speaking or after lunch, when they just want somebody to stand up and entertain them for, you know, 20 minutes and sit down. But, yeah, it sells a ton of books, which is fun.
How much is your book?
$19.95.
Well, it's not expensive.
I think on Amazon right now they've dropped it down to, like, $17.95 or something like that. But retail price is $19.95. And there's the Kindle version, which is cheaper. But the Kindle version isn't as pretty. The actual book is real
pretty.
It's real fun. And yeah. So the actual book is real vibrant and pretty, and I just like it way better than the Kindle version. But that's just me.
Okay. We have less than a minute, so I want to give your website is http://laugh-lines.net, and everybody should go and read your blog, because it's terrific. And
well, I'm glad you
like
it.
Thank you. I want to thank you so much for being my guest today, Vicki. I wish I had your sense of humor, because
well,
I can laugh about my disease, but you know, I don't find the humor in things like you do. So it's a blessing.
Well, I just do. Thank you. This was fun.
Okay. It was fun for me too.
Take good care, Fran. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. You've been listening to Fraternizing with Fran with your host, talk radio advocate Fran Silverman at talkradioadvocate.com. If you wish to be a guest on the show and you think you're interesting, please email me at franalive@uptonline.net and send me a little bio about yourself. Okay. Bye-bye. Ronnie?
listen to cards. Not till the 15th. But if you may have the car, but I have the latest. Just don't take out the old one, though. Put it like, put it behind the old one. All right, so there's two bars and these... candy corn. What else? Ow! You what? I can't hear a word you're saying. You're talking mumbles. Mumbles! What are you mumbling for? Come in the kitchen and talk to me. You know you don't have a loud voice. Oh, look at this. This is disgusting, Fran. You don't even wash these things out. My God. Come here. This is what I want to show you. This is a little bit of this. So unfair of you. Wrap up the apples in silver foil.
watching today?
American Sniper.
Shut this off.